Hi, and welcome to this module, Office 365 Express Route Planning Integration with LAND. So in this module, we're going to talk about your different connectivity options when you put your Express Route circuit in, how you integrate with that with your existing network and get your traffic from your client into your Express Route circuit. I'm Paul Collinge. I'm a Senior Program Manager with our Office 365 CXP team. And I deal with our customers' networking, connectivity, performance issues with our Office 365 environment. And I deal a lot with Express Route. So hopefully I'll relay some of that experience I've got over the next few slides. So straight into the content. When we look at Office 365 customers, they all connect very differently. Every customer's got different equipment, different methodologies to get to the internet, etc. But when you think about it, and when we look at each of those models, they all boil down to the same end-to-end connectivity model when you take out the detail. There's two main options to connect to your Office 365 services. One, via a proxy, or two, direct routing. So that means just flipping the IP address on the edge of the network and connecting out to the Office 365 endpoint. And ExpressRoute fits that model. It's essentially a direct connection, a routing override from the internet. And as the slide says there, if ExpressRoute is chosen, you still require the internet. So in this module, we'll talk about your connectivity models with ExpressRoute and how do you handle that internet bound traffic? How do you split it out? So we'll talk about that in a few slides time. So moving on to the next slide. Here are those models broken down. As a customer, you're going to connect to a cloud service. Obviously, we need a network between the two. And it's going to be one or a multitude of these options. So if I work top to bottom, the top line shows a connection from a client through a proxy out through the public internet into Microsoft's global network, which then connects you to your cloud services. Generally speaking, with this model, you've got two TCP connections. You've got one from your client to your proxy. And it asks your proxy, get me my tenantname.sharepoint.com. And the proxy will then connect through the public internet into Microsoft's network to get to your SharePoint endpoint. So we're looking at two TCP connections there, proxied by the proxy in the middle. Second option is a direct network connection. So this would be equivalent to you being sat in a Starbucks or at home where you don't have a public IP address on your network card, but there's a device, a NAT device at the edge of your router, which is going to flip that IP address to something publicly routable and send it on its way. The difference here is that generally we've got one TCP connection end-to-end from your client all the way through the edge of your network out to Office 365. And that's generally our recommended connectivity option for most customers. There's less interference there, and we've got end-to-end connectivity to your endpoint. So your third option at the bottom is ExpressRoute. And you'll note something here on this diagram. ExpressRoute does not terminate in the data center. It's a common misconception I come across, that we think ExpressRoute is going to connect you from the edge of your network to Microsoft's data center. It's not the case. Microsoft have an enormous global network where we peer with ISPs for internet connectivity. Internet connectivity being the mainstay of Office 365, how it's designed to connect. In a subset of those locations where we peer with ISPs, we have ExpressRoute availability. So we'll have routers sat in those carrier hotels, the internet exchanges, where the ExpressRoute service will terminate and then put that traffic into Microsoft's global network, much like the ISP will via the public internet connection. So that's your three main options. And if you have ExpressRoute, you'll require one of the above two, either a proxy or a direct connection for your internet traffic. So next slide, we're going to talk about locations. So we've decided we want ExpressRoute. We've got the decision process around it, why we want the ExpressRoute in the first place. And to deliver that need, we've got to look at where we put that ExpressRoute circuit. So obviously, location, where are we going to put it? The obvious one is where your head office, where your majority of your users here. But this is where a network assessment really comes in, because it can show where it is optimal for you to connect. And as it says in the slide there, latency is key. I've run into a lot of customer issues where we've gone from a distributed internet connectivity model to a centralized egress model for ExpressRoute. And that sometimes can cause higher latency than a local internet bound egress. So we've got to consider that Where your chosen provider offers locations, they may not offer it where you want it. And we need to look at multiple circuits. Often that is required. We'd recommend multiple express route circuits for failover capability. For example, what if your carrier hotel, so if you go into a shared internet exchange and that exchange goes offline for a power failure, then that circuit's gone. How do we get our business critical traffic out from our environment to Office 365? We have to have an alternate route. So that could be a second express route circuit, or it could be the internet. Sizing that circuit, bandwidth planning is something that needs to happen very early in the process. So we have calculators and other guidance online on how to calculate that. And you can choose the physical link from your provider that you think suits you. And from a Microsoft perspective, you can increase the bandwidth up to whatever your carrier will take on the physical link and up to what Microsoft's limits are. And that can be done on the fly. The other thing to consider, and we'll look at an example in a second, but do all your locations need to use ExpressRoute? Again, is that centralized egress suitable for all of your services? Is it suitable for all your locations? So let's have a look at an example of where that decision process might play. So this map here represents Microsoft's global network and obviously zoomed into the United States. And the blue dots are representative of where we have peering points. So this is where we exchange traffic with our ISPs. We peer with over 2,000 ISPs globally. And these peer points, the blue dots represent, we have 65 of those globally. So think of this as the Microsoft network that connects you to your services. And I've got an example business here. So this is Contoso, and they have an office in San Francisco. The yellow line into SFO there is an indicator of an internet link. So their local ISP has a peering with Microsoft in San Francisco and gives us the traffic there, and we get it to where it needs to go. The red line here represents Contoso's WAN, so how they connect their offices up together. And we also have two offices. So our head office is over in Chicago there, and our third office is over in what looks like the North Atlantic for tax reasons probably, but it's connected through into JFK, into New York. So each three of those sites, they're connected up via a WAN, but our Office 365 traffic from each of those sites uses a local egress and connects into Microsoft's network in a local area. So that means the company doesn't have to backhaul its traffic over that WAN. It doesn't have to worry about the bandwidth over the WAN, any performance issues. And that's what we want from Microsoft. We want your traffic from your environment into Microsoft's network as quickly as possible and as unfiltered and unmanaged as possible, straight onto our network. And we can then take it on that backbone. It's a very high speed, high bandwidth link to connect you to your data. So in this example, the customer's tenant is in Des Moines, in the center of that circle. So it's in the center of those three offices, but that's optimal connectivity for this customer. But let's say for whatever reason, for Skype for Business, they require or they have regulatory reasons where they require ExpressRoute. So we purchased that. And the green line that's just appeared would indicate that ExpressRoute circuit. So what happens now with these three sites? Well, we're going to stop using those yellow lines, the internet circuits, to connect to Office 365 for the majority of our traffic. So we're going to have to utilize that red line, which is the Contoso WAN, to backhaul that traffic from San Francisco, for example, over into Chicago, into Microsoft's network, and then we'll move it from Chicago into Des Moines, where the tenant resides. So, okay, that might give us fine performance. We're not going to notice too much of a difference. It's not optimal because we're spending longer than necessary on the customer's WAN from San Francisco. But performance-wise, we should be good here from all locations. However, what happens, and you've got to think of Office 365 as a moving endpoint. Fast services are exactly this. Your data isn't just in one place, it's in multiple locations, and the active endpoint may move at any one time, and that may be for maintenance reasons, It could be for any particular reasons, and you wouldn't notice that that endpoint has shifted, and that's the nature of SaaS services and how we provide failover capability. Your data is in multiple locations, and we move the active endpoint when required. So let's say the cloud there has moved over towards Seattle, so it sits in Washington. So that's the active tenant location for Contoso. No longer in Des Moines, it's in Seattle. Now, if we think about that example from San Francisco, previously, we could use the internet connection, that yellow line, into San Francisco, pair with Microsoft's network, and we will carry that traffic up to Washington very quickly. Now what's happening, now we've got an express route circuit, which is the priority for our traffic. We've still got to backhaul that traffic all the way across to Chicago and in out via the express route circuit into Microsoft's network in Chicago. And then we've got to backhaul it all the way across the US again into Washington to where the active tenant location is. And you can see here, we've actually added latency from the internet model. And this is where we've got to think, is a single express route circuit the right thing? If it isn't, what are our options here? So what would I suggest to this customer in this scenario? Because they're not connecting optimally. Well, we could do two things. The second green line that's just appeared there with San Francisco, that could be our secondary express route circuit. It could be used for failover should the one in Chicago go offline. And it will also mean that traffic from our San Francisco office is onto Microsoft's network very quickly again, and we're not relying on that WAN to backhaul it across the country. New York, I haven't really talked about here, but because it's relatively close to the Chicago office in network terms, then maybe we don't need to worry so much about this. So again, if I've got a, if Contoso has offices that are closely linked and have very high speed links between them, then maybe a single express route circuit would work for us, but we'd still have to work on a failover model should that express route circuit go down. And our other option there, which may be suitable for the customer if they don't want to spend money on a secondary express route circuit, is just leave the San Francisco office to use the internet. Don't use the express route circuit and configure the users in that environment to use the local internet egress as they were before, because that's going to give them the best performance model in this particular setup. So just to summarize that, the risks of the location model we just looked at, and that was just a US-based model, and you can apply that kind of premise to a global organization. So moving from a localized egress model to a centralized express route model may incur higher latency than if a local egress was used. So if quicker, if better latency is a driver for express route for you, then a network assessment should definitely be done to show, you know, are we actually going to get that addition, that better latency? And often when I've looked at these things, the answer is no. It's actually increased latency like that San Francisco model there. The other thing to consider here is, again, we're using that the model before, bandwidth. Does that red line, that WAN, Contoso's WAN, have the capacity to handle that Office 365 traffic that it didn't used to have to carry? Is that going to cause you a bottleneck that you were trying to solve with putting an express route in? So we're adding an additional bottleneck. Again, a network assessment will show up whether that's the case. Cost is another thing. If you pay a carrier for that WAN, so per gigabyte that you transfer, you pay a fee, then again, does it make sense to backhaul that on your WAN? Let Microsoft carry it on our network to where it needs to go by using that local egress in San Francisco. And the other thing to consider in multi-geo zones is GeoDNS, and we'll look at that in a bit more detail in a few slides time. And just to summarize the solutions there, again, I'll keep talking about network assessments. Without proper data to show latency and throughput and how we're connecting to Microsoft's global network, it's difficult to make the right decisions here about network placements and where we need to invest the time and money and effort. Is Express Route the right solution here? Sometimes it's not. That, as I mentioned earlier, Microsoft's global network is designed to carry your traffic to where it needs to go. And a good ISP that connects quickly from the edge of your environment to Microsoft's network will do as good a job in many cases as an Express Route circuit. So again, we've got to see whether the additional time and complexity of Express Route is right for that particular scenario. Would using Express Route in multiple locations be a better design? Often, yes. So in that example there, San Francisco would have benefited from a local express route circuit. But you could apply that premise to anything else. So an office in Hong Kong, for example, should have its own express route circuit rather than backhaul to that one in Chicago. Would localized egress provide better performance? Again, that San Francisco site, most likely, yes. You would get better performance by using a decent ISP in San Francisco and egressing locally. If a single express route circuit is the only option, using local egresses in non-North American sites, for that example, would likely give the best overall performance. So again, that Contoso model there in the United States, if we had an office in Hong Kong, backhauling the traffic from Hong Kong to use that express route circuit would definitely give you lower performance levels than if you used local egresses. So again, that would be the model I'd encourage Contoso to use. And for some customers, we can use things like BGP communities to separate the traffic, and you can send particular traffic over express route if you want to do that. If there's something specific you want to do, then we can split the traffic and send some over the internet and some via the express route circuit. At the end of the day, express route is just a routing override from the edge of your network to Microsoft's network that avoids the internet path. So we've talked a bit about express route itself, and I mentioned early on that we still need internet connectivity for Office 365. So how do we handle that? How do we handle the splitting of that traffic? So this slide talks about what we need the internet for. So a lot of the traffic that can't go via express route is for, when you think about it, pretty obvious reasons. It's data generally that is not held in Microsoft's data center. So it makes no sense to try and connect to Microsoft's network because it doesn't exist in Microsoft's network. So that covers DNS name resolution, obviously, CRL checks, CDN data. So we do host elements of your service in CDNs. We don't host any customer data in there, but it might be the Office 365 bar you see when you log into the admin portal, or scripts that run in the background for SharePoint, etc. Non-customer data, and it makes sense for us to deliver that from CDNs closer to you rather than from the data center. And obviously that needs the internet path to connect to. Yammer currently is not express routable, so you have to get that via the internet connectivity. Office Video, Office 365 Pro Plus client downloads, again, it's a piece of software. It doesn't need to sit in our data centers. We can deliver that locally to you via CDN. So again, that has to use the internet path. So these elements all need the internet. So how do you then connect to that? And normally when I speak to customers, they use their existing internet egress model. So if they're users that are looking at Microsoft.com or a website where they're researching, it will go out via a proxy. Then that's what we use for our internet egress when we've got express routing case. But it's important to note that it's quite easy to get fixated on getting the express route circuit enabled and optimized. But it's important not to forget the internet route, because a delay here, performance issues here, are going to impact your service. If you think of SharePoint, for example, elements that we're loading from CDNs, if they come in very slowly, then your SharePoint page is going to take time to render, even if the express routable elements have come in very quickly. So it's important not to forget this. And the link on the bottom there is where we hold all our guidance on performance and connectivity modeling. So this is normally the easiest method to implement for our internet connectivities, going via a proxy. So you configure the client to send all non-express route traffic to the proxy. And as I said earlier on, key to remember that non-express routable elements can still cause performance problems if you don't optimize that. So, you know, an overloaded, overworked proxy is going to cause knock-on issues within Office 365 if that's the case. Try and use localized proxies wherever possible so we can deliver that CDN data from somewhere near the client and reduce the latency out to that. One option I see many customers run into here where it's not possible to put brand new physical hardware in locations for whatever reason, cost, staffing. Cloud-based proxy providers are available where you can just use a local internet egress and still connect via a proxy, which gives you the benefits of connecting via a proxy, i.e. it's easy to route that traffic you into a single endpoint, etc. and they'll deal with the proxying for you out on the internet, and they are normally very well connected into Microsoft's network if needs be. So, and this next slide, we're going to kind of look at a pack file that we would use to send ExpressRoute traffic direct and non-ExpressRoute traffic to a proxy. Now, I wouldn't take this and use it in your environment. We actually publish a physical pack file example where we split the traffic on the Managing Office 365 Endpoints page. So if you search for that in the search engine of your choice, and at the bottom of that page, there are pack file examples, and we will keep those updated as and when the URLs change. So you can take that example and implement it in your environment. But in this very simple example here, we're calling out the ExpressRoute URLs and returning them direct. So that means the client is going to put them directly on the network, connecting to the public IP address of that URL. In practice, it's not quite as simple as that, in that we have to do some work with some other URLs, but that's visible on the page I just mentioned. In this example, once we've sent the direct traffic, there's then a catch-all that says anything else go to my proxy address. So in a very simple way, this pack file is saying these URLs send direct on the network because I know they're going to ExpressRoute, and then anything else I'm going to send to the proxy. And where would you get this split of URLs, what goes via ExpressRoute? On our URL and IP page, which is kept updated constantly. And it will show which elements of which service can go via ExpressRoute and which ones cannot. But again, I'd advise you to have a look at the pack file on our endpoints page. So let's look at another method here. If we don't have a proxy, our other method is direct routing of internet traffic. So this is where it's pretty much the same as ExpressRoute. You flip the IP address on the edge of the network and send it on its way. And in the scenarios coming up, I'll walk you through how that might look in a corporate environment. So let's have a look at those design options. We've decided we want ExpressRoute. We've decided where we're going to put the ExpressRoute circuits for optimal connectivity. We know how we're going to split our traffic between internet and otherwise. And now we're going to look at the three main options. Number one being routing override at the edge. So that means we're going to make a decision where that goes, ExpressRoute or the internet on the edge of our network. Second we're going to look at is a proxy level override, which some of the customers I've worked with use for various reasons, where a proxy makes that decision. We send the ExpressRoute traffic to a proxy. Sounds a bit counterintuitive, but there are reasons why we might want to do that. And thirdly, we have the BGP propagation design, where that BGP information from the ExpressRoute circuit is flooded into my corporate network and the routing decisions are made on the fly by the routers in our network. So let's start with the non-BGP propagation design. So this is where we make the routing decision at the edge. So if a customer wants to use ExpressRoute, but they don't want the complexity of managing all those BGP routes, Microsoft has up to 600, I think, at present that might come in when you open that Microsoft peering option. And perhaps we've got routers that maybe can't handle those updates, or we just don't want to have to handle all that routing decision process on internally onto our network. So this model allows us to make a routing decision at the edge. So let's say Contoso's current internet model is we send non-local traffic to an egress, an external edge gateway, and that makes a decision and says, okay, that's going to go out to the internet and does the NATing. All we need to do in this scenario is we need to allow that edge router to have view of the ExpressRoute BGP information. So it knows which IP addresses are routable to Office 365 via ExpressRoute. So when that traffic hits that particular invite, device, it's going to send the traffic via ExpressRoute or by its standard internet model. And for me, this is quite an elegant way of handling BGP traffic and handling ExpressRoute, in that you have a device at the edge of your network which makes that routing decision, and it means that there's less work that needs to be done to implement within your environment. So let's have a look at a diagram that would show that. Again, this is fairly simple. We've got two customer sites here, A and B, and that edge router sits at the edge of the network And previously, everything went via that yellow link via the internet. We just flipped the IP address on the edge and send it on its way via the internet. Now we stick a second circuit in, which has it pushes the BGP information from ExpressRoute into that edge router. So it can make a decision when that IP address hits that router, saying thin packet to an address that is express routable because it's got that information via BGP, we'll send it down the express route circuit. And then it can make those decisions on the fly for each connection as they come through. What does that look like if I've got multiple global sites? Again, we've just got to use our internal network to manage traffic getting to that egress router. But again, that should be pretty straightforward because in this instance, we were already doing that for our internet traffic that each EMEA and North America site knows what its default exit point is from the network. And each of those edge routers now for express route. This is a good point to talk about netting. We'll talk about it in some of the other modules, but each of those net devices, so one here in EMEA and one in North America, they should have non-overlapping net pools. And what this means is that traffic that goes into Microsoft, we make sure it comes back to the same express route circuit. If you have overlapping net pools, there's a risk of asymmetric routing where traffic goes out of one express route circuit and back in the other. And having non-overlapping net pools removes that risk. So to summarize, that routing overrides at the edge. The client sends a connection to the actual Office 365 IP port, much like our direct connectivity is. But it means that the Contoso network team in this example doesn't have to handle Microsoft's BGP routes internally, which keeps those routing tables small on the internal routers. And we handle that override from the internet on the edge router as it has knowledge of what can and cannot go down the express route circuit, which is handled dynamically via BGP. And our internet bound traffic is sent via the proxy. Again, that decision is made on that particular edge router. Generally, I find this is a lower level of internal requirements, cost, implementation, complexity. So it will be easier for Contoso in many cases to roll this out. What you have to be able to do is route those public IP addresses to that edge router, which may be a problem for some customers. And if that is the case, then the next model we'll look at will give you a solution there. All traffic can be sent direct, so there's no need for proxies using pack files on the clients to send the traffic on. And we can use the BGP routes here. So this is an important point around controlling that egress router. You might think it'd be a good idea to use our Office 365 URL and IP page for route management on that edge router. So to fulfill firewall policies or routing policies on that edge router using our website. That's not dynamic enough for the way BGP works. So we recommend just allowing the BGP routes to hit that edge router and make the decision based off that rather than statically managing those. And it also ensures you've got a lower overhead for maintenance. So our next option, I'm just going to show you a diagram of this before I talk about it. So we've got two sites here, customer site A and customer site B. And let's think, for example, this customer, for whatever reason, cannot route external IP addresses on their network. Another driver I've seen for this model is that the network team that are implementing this have to manage this traffic from multiple subsidiaries, and they don't have full end-to-end control of the network of all those subsidiaries, and it's very difficult to get things changed and added. So how do we then manage multiple sites getting traffic from the client to our egress? Well, a simple way is to get it to a proxy. So we put a proxy at the edge of the express route circuit and also one at the internet. And we can use a pack file to say these URLs go to the express route proxy. And then that proxy can just spit that traffic out into the express route circuit. And the customer doesn't have to worry about routing from the client to that proxy because it's connecting to an internal IP address, so the internal edge of that proxy. So it doesn't have to handle all those external IPs on their network, and it doesn't have to worry about routing tables, etc. And it makes it pretty simple to implement. So in this model, we've just got two sites using the same proxies traffic going to the internet is sent to a specific proxy, and the rest that's going to Office 365 is set to a separate proxy. So what does that look like when we've got a multinational Contoso organization? Again, pretty easy to implement. We just need proxies in North America for the ExpressRoute and internet, and a proxy in EMEA for ExpressRoute and the internet. And we can use different pack files on the client machines in EMEA to point to the relevant proxy for that environment, and the same for the US. So it's pretty easy to implement this model. The downside is we're using a proxy. We generally don't recommend using proxies because there can be a bottleneck. There's a man in the middle that has to stop and reconnect to something, and they may change things or slow things down. So you're not getting that end-to-end connectivity that might be optimal for Office 365. So to summarize that model, there's no need to handle external IPs on your internal network. So again, that might not be a possibility for you. So this would give you an option, which keeps your internal routing table small. And as I say, it meets some customers' requirements. Some customers actually need or require all traffic to be proxied for whatever reason, so it can be logged, etc. And that's the easiest way to do it. So it gives us an option for that. Very easy management of multiple ExpressRoute locations using different proxy IPs. So I can have a proxy in each region, so one in APAC, one in USA, one in EMEA, and I just need to configure each client in that region to point at that particular proxy, and I've got the traffic from A to the edge of the ExpressRoute circuit and into Microsoft pretty easily. And as I mentioned, we have to be just careful with this model, that if you have to use this model, then the proxies used are very likely to be a bottleneck if they're not correctly spec'd and scaled up and tested. So, and we still recommend Skype for Business. Using a proxy generally forces traffic to use TCP, and Skype prefers to use UDP for performance reasons. So we generally recommend not using proxies for Skype for Business traffic. So again, might not suit you if you're using Skype for Business for voice and meeting. The other thing to remember here was we're using a pack file on the client, so we'd have to keep on top of any changes on our URLs to make sure that traffic is correctly split between the internet and ExpressRoute circuit. But in theory here, if you miss something in that pack file, the worst that's going to happen is it's going to get routed via the internet rather than ExpressRoute until you notice that change. So how would I configure that pack file that sits on the client? Well, pretty similarly to how we did before, that we'd have the Office 365 URLs listed and say go to proxy A. So in this instance, it's going to 10.10.10.1 on port 80. And anything else, I want you to go to my internet proxy, which is 10.10.10.2 on port 8080. And that's how we split the traffic from a client basis, and we can get it from the client to the edge of your network pretty easy with this model. Again, that's a very simplified pack file there that we'd recommend. If you're going to go down this model, use the example on the Managing Office 365 Endpoints webpage. So our final option here, I hasten to say the most complex, because it depends on your network setup. This may well be the easiest way for you to do it. What happens if we have a network that we're quite happy to allow the BGP information, so that's the routing information for Office 365 Express routable traffic, all the way into our network? Well, it looks like this model here. So the eBGP, external BGP traffic, hits the edge router, which then allows that to flood inside the network as iBGP. So each router within Contoso's network here has full knowledge of what is express routable and what is not, and when we can then route that traffic accordingly through to where it needs to go. And what does that look like again when we've got the North America and EMEA sites in scope? So here we would need to do a bit of technical work on the network traffic to ensure that our North America site is sending traffic to the correct express route circuit in Chicago in this example, and the one in EMEA is doing that for the one in EMEA. How would we do that? Can be done with various methods. It may already be in use on your network, so it could be something like using BGP communities, localization communities, to tag all the packets in EMEA so that the correct egress is used for EMEA, and the same goes for North America. But there's added complexity, as I said, with this model. So I'll walk through those now. So allowing this particular model, as I say, allows those BGP routes to be learned internally. So then we need a design decision when we're setting this up. How far do we let those routes come into our network? Are we going to let them all the way in? Do we need to use BGP communities to manage which egress is used, as I mentioned? That kind of all needs prior management. And route costing on complex networks. So you might have two express route circuits in North America, for example. Then we need a bit more complex connectivity modeling and route costing to set that up. And as I mentioned before, location-based BGP community information on the packets is one way of managing that. But you can start to see the complexity of getting this all correctly configured and managed and continually monitored is slightly higher than the other models. And asymmetric routing, I've mentioned it multiple times. It's one of the big risks with Office 365 Express Route if we don't do correct network testing and setup. And by asymmetric routing, I mean traffic going in or out of one circuit and coming back in or out of the other. So the example I mentioned before where we had two Express Route circuits, you could send traffic to Microsoft via the EMEA circuit. And in theory, if it's not correctly configured, that could come back in via the USA circuit. And that's not optimal for us. So we need to make sure one route has priority, especially for inbound services. And one of the other modules we'll be talking about asymmetric routing in more detail. So to summarize, the internal route propagation design, so allowing BGP internally, you've got to be careful and ensure that all your routers can handle those additional routes. So Express Route may add 600 plus routes, so make sure they can handle them. If they can't handle that increase, or for example, you don't want to have all those routes internally for whatever reasons, you can upgrade your routers if the route table size is an issue. We could use BGP communities to limit the number of routes to use services. So it might be that you're only using Skype for Business online, for example, and you could use BGP communities to restrict the traffic flowing through your Express Route circuit to just Skype traffic. So that will reduce the number of routes that are advertised because the other ones are blocked off. Or we could look at one of the other methods outlined above. You know, if you run into this where you want to use the BGP model internally, yet our routers, we'd have to upgrade 30, 50 routers, then maybe one of the other models would make more sense in this occasion. And I mentioned about inbound traffic. Again, this is one of the high risk areas for asymmetric routing. This means traffic coming in from Microsoft to your environment. An example, well, the list is there, generally hybrid environments, ADFS validation, where traffic, so if I think of an example, your Exchange server or your clients outside coming into your Exchange hybrid box for auto discover, could be many different scenarios where that might happen. So traffic comes in via the internet, your user sat in Starbucks, yet we see the response back via Express Route to Office 365. And that's not good because your internal firewalls are going to see that traffic and drop it because they didn't see the inbound traffic. As I say, we'll talk about this more in one of the upcoming modules, but the elements you need to consider for inbound traffic would be ADFS, Exchange server hybrid deployments, mail from an Exchange online tenant to an on-premises host, SharePoint hybrid, and Skype for Business hybrid. And we need to make sure that we understand the traffic flow in and out of those environments and keep exposed to the internet what we need to be exposed to the internet and ensure by using correct NATing that that traffic goes back the way it came in. And for all those three connection methods, I've mentioned it multiple times about that asymmetric routing, source NATing and using separate NAT pools. Again, we'll go into detail in one of the other modules, but the easiest way to control that and prevent that risk is to use source NATing where we have non-overlapping NAT pools, which kind of helps with that symmetric routing. For the NAT pools that you're using for Express Route, we advise them not to be exposed to the internet. So again, we'll talk about them in other modules. SMTP mail inbound has to be over the internet. So if you want SMTP mail from non-Microsoft sources, we still have to have that endpoint exposed to the internet for that to come in. Ensure that all egresses are well scaled to cope with peak load. So that doesn't just mean bandwidth. If we think about Outlook, for example, it's going to open multiple TCP connections, and they're going to sit there all day. And that sometimes can be an issue because egresses are generally designed to be for transient network traffic, that we go for a website, we get the website, and then we close the session and reuse the resource. Outlook doesn't work like that. It's going to open those sessions and it's going to sit there all day with them. So we need to make sure in terms of NATing, processing power, memory, everything is scaled up to cope with this different use, this SaaS use that is maybe a watershed from how it's originally designed to work for transient-based internet access. And the other thing to talk about here is you may want to restrict the traffic coming in from ExpressRoute. So I kind of mentioned this earlier on that you might want to have a policy on the edge that says I only want Office 365 URLs to come in via this circuit. So the key point here is not to use that URL and IP list that we publish online. That's designed for proxy setup and firewall management on transient connections. For something like ExpressRoute that uses BGP, it's far too dynamic for that. So for example, we could inject a route that maybe someone's not monitoring or hasn't noticed the change on our URL and IP list. And if you don't then allow that through the firewall, that connection's going to fail and we're going to get connectivity issues. So there are multiple options. You could use BGP communities to restrict the traffic, or we could use Microsoft's entire IPv4 range, which we publish, to restrict the traffic. So that's not just Office 365, but all Microsoft IPs. But again, any changes will come under that wider scope. And so just to summarize what that might look like, this scenario is one I've seen multiple times. So Contoso wish to use BGP filters to control inbound traffic and to use the URL and IP list to configure this. So that's the scenario I just mentioned. So if Contoso used that URL and IP list, it will cause them issues at some point. Not only is it an overhead for the firewall team that have to manage this and keep an eye on that page and update the firewalls, you know, for a large organization, if you've got 50 firewalls, that's a big job. And Microsoft try and give up to 30 days notice for changes on that URL and IP page, but there are occasions where we make changes. The example they're putting a new /32 within an existing /24, or emergency changes for whatever reasons. They're rare, but they do happen. But if that does occur, then the problem is you're not going to be able to connect via ExpressRoute circuit. It's not dynamic enough. So solution here, firewall security, as I said before, multitude of options. You can use a DNS-based firewall. Not my favorite option, but it is an option because our DNS records update much less frequency, but there's a level of overhead here for that to occur. My preferred option would be to put Microsoft's entire IPv4 range, which means that circuit can only be used for Microsoft endpoints, but we don't constrict them down as far as the Office 365 endpoints. Another driver for security on the edge might be router protection. So you might be worried about route flooding. There's a lot of work done, and every change we do on our network is tested, and we do a lot of work to make sure that anything we do isn't going to impact you. But you may want to think about if that were to happen, that we would flood with route updates, then you can use a max free prefix property on routers to restrict the amount of route updates we can provide to, I don't know, 1,000. Or you could restrict on BGP communities to suit the services being used, again, to constrain those routes coming in. And I mentioned earlier on about GeoDNS and ExpressRoute. So this is a scenario that actually comes into play on normal connectivity via the internet to multi-tenant, or it comes into play more often as well with ExpressRoute when we move to that kind of localized model that I talked about before that we don't generally recommend. So the scenario here is imagine Contoso puts a single ExpressRoute circuit in their North America sub, where their tenant is located, but they configure the European sites to use this. again, we don't recommend this model. We'd recommend a local egress for Europe, but let's say this is what's happened. But European sites have their local DNS servers. The outcome is that we're going to connect to a CAS server in Europe, and I'll walk through that why that might be now. So for Exchange, so this applies to anywhere you're connecting to Office 365, never mind ExpressRoute via the internet. This is the same model. So let's say the lady at the bottom there represents a user or your office in North America, and your tenant is in North America, represented by the white box. So this client then does a DNS lookup to Microsoft, and we look at the source IP address of that DNS lookup. So which DNS server asked us that question? So from that, we can work out from our databases what region that DNS server is in. So in this case, we know you're in North America. The list of IP addresses we give Outlook to connect to is they're all in North America. So we connect to those CAS servers, which then connect to your mailbox. All good. So what happens if that user were to move on business to Europe, or again, that lady at the bottom can represent your office in Europe? What we do is we look at that DNS lookup, and because in this instance the DNS call is being done in Europe, we know that user, that office is in Europe. So we'll actually give you a list of CAS server IP addresses for Outlook to connect to in the EU data centers, which makes the connectivity from Outlook to the front end of Exchange quite short, and the CAS server can do its business from a local location. We then connect through to your mailbox in North America here through our backbone network, and this gives us optimal connectivity for that user, that office. So all good. But this is where this goes wrong. And again, if our egress for ExpressRoute is not in the region where my users are, yet my DNS lookup is, then we can run into this scenario. So we have two pins on this map, one in North America, one in Europe. And my tenant in this instance is North American. But the yellow circle indicates that's where my DNS call is done. So this might be because my DNS server is located there. So when Outlook opens here, it's going to do a DNS call, which is going to be completed in EMEA because that's where my DNS server is. And we'll get back a list of IP addresses of CAS servers in Europe because that's where we think the user is based on their DNS call. And now Outlook is now connecting like this. So the traffic flow is going from North America to a CAS server in Dublin, which then has to connect back to the mailbox server in North America, which then has to send that packet back via the reverse route, which is obviously non-optimal. And this is where ExpressRoute can actually cause a problem. So if my ExpressRoute circuit is in the wrong place here, so for my North America location, it could mean that my traffic is traversing out of a location, then backhauling to a CAS server nearer to where I am, and then having to go back through to my mailbox server. So the key point here is we should have localized egress, localized DNS resolution. But if you have to have an egress which is not local in the local region to you, so by that I mean you're in North America, but your ExpressRoute circuit is in Europe, for example, because that's where your tenant is. In that scenario, we need to make sure that DNS resolution for the North America site does not follow our normal standard practice of having local DNS resolution in North America. The DNS resolution for outlook.office365.com should be done where the egress is, which is in Europe. And that means we'll hit the European CAS servers, which means we're not doing the backhaul across the Atlantic. So in summary, we've talked about the connectivity options here. So going direct, proxied, express route. And around the thinking and the network analysis that should be done to make sure that when you spend the money and you do put the effort into putting your egresses in, that they're done in the correct locations for optimal connectivity for all of your sites. We've talked about how to split that internet bound traffic, so send it to a proxy or send it to a direct NATed connection, and how to use pack files to do that if you need to. And then we've walked through the three main routing options for using ExpressRoute. So once you've got that ExpressRoute circuit in, You might want to look at routing override at the edge. So an edge router makes the decision about express route or internet. We could put proxies in to make that decision based on a client pack file. Or our third option is allowing BGP routes internally to our network, which carries some risk for some customers. And we've talked about some general advice on the connectivity options and GeoDNS, which is another thing to consider for all connectivity for Outlook, never mind just with ExpressRoute, but more pervasively with ExpressRoute. And that's the end of the content for today. I hope you enjoyed the module, and I hope you enjoy the following modules.